Welcome to Chosen Voices, a podcast created by Chosen Vessels, Inc., seeking to encourage, equip, and empower leaders in ministry around the globe. I'm your host, Becca Baxter.
And I'm Autumn Bedingfield.
And this is Chosen Voices. Today on the podcast, we have one of my favorite humans in the whole world, Harrison Wachee. I'm so glad that we get to just sit down and with him and listen to his story, and I think you're really going to love it.
Hey, Harrison.
That's Jason.
Well, a kwaba to our podcast. So let's just start out about learning a bit about you. All right, so how old are you?
This year, I'll turn 28. Yes.
Yes. All right, and where are you from?
I'm from Ghana, West Africa.
What city?
Kumasi.
Yes, we love Kumasi. What else do we need to know about you before we start?
Okay, my name is Harrison Wachee, and I was born at the village. And by God's grace, my daddy brought us to the city, and specifically Kumasi. So it's Kumasi where I grew up, at a town called Odio. And I have one brother and a sister, but I'm so unfortunate our sister isn't with us, and likewise our mom. So now it's with me and my brother, and our father is also alive.
All right, so let's jump into your story. Becca's going to start asking you some questions about your testimony.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Harrison, when would you say you met the Lord for the first time?
For the first time, I can't really recall, because when we were growing up, we used to attend so many crusades. And then when it's time for the altar call, we go in front and like the kids around like the town, we go there and then we all raise up our hands. Like it became something normal. So whenever there's a crusade in Odio, or what's the case we do is to go around, and when it's time for altar call, we go lift up our hands and then we pray. But it wasn't something I did with understanding. So I really remember there was a time when we went for one of the crusades, and the man of God was praying for us. And when he got to my turn, he asked me to wait for a while, and then he prayed for the other kids. So came back and then lifted up an oil and prayed for me and told them I'll become a pastor in the future. So from then, people were calling me pastor. I'm also called junior. So they were calling me junior pastor. But I never had an encounter with God until I was introduced to a church by a friend. Then where I really had the opportunity to really encounter the Lord, to know what to become a child of God and to become a Christian. And that church is Trinity Foundation Ministry, Pastor Sammy's church. So it was there that I really came to know the Lord, and I gave my life to the Lord with understanding.
So can you explain for some people that might not have the background what a crusade is?
Okay, so here in Ghana, when you talk of a crusade is a group of people, believers, and more especially a church, like denominations, whereby they move to towns to engage the people. So before the evening for the crusade, they go from house to house to talk to people about God through the Lord Jesus. And when it's evening, they invite them to come to a particular place where they would show some movies that talks about faith, that talks about God. And after the movie, they would invite you to come and believe in God through Jesus Christ. So crusades are platforms where people can come to and the saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus through movies of faith and going to towns and using musical instruments like mounting up stages to gather the crowds, to bring up crowds.
Yep. So it's their gatherings that happen in villages where people come and watch a film, and then usually a pastor or somebody gives a gospel message. And in my, on my first trip to Ghana, we actually participated in putting them on in different villages, and it's the whole village jumps in to be a part of it usually, which is really neat.
So at the crusade, when people started calling you junior pastor, what did you think about that?
Actually, it was like normal to me. I never take that identity like serious. So like, I never cared about it. Like, I wasn't bothered. People were calling me that, and it's actually meant nothing to me till I became more aware of it with my relationship with the Lord as time moved on. So many people were trying to draw my attention to it. Even in my junior high school, there was also a man of God that reminded me of that same thing. So when I completed my senior high school, it was then I realized that really the Lord has really called me and He wants to use me for His work. So that time I had the conviction that I need to really answer to this call from God.
And so after you realized that conviction to go into being a pastor, what was your next step? What did you do next to start that journey?
Okay, so I started that by going back to the school's ministry. So I wrote letters to various schools around our community and some far from our community to get the opportunity to share God's word with them during their worship days in schools. So I really engaged myself in the school ministry program where I was preaching in so many schools on Fridays and on Wednesdays. And so it was where I really started. And then I went back to the village where I was born with my mom. And there also I spent time with the village people and also with their various schools to share God's word with them. It was then Hunter helped us to purchase Bibles for the school children and then those in the villages as well.
And school ministry is something that we got to be a part of last trip to Ghana, and it was super special. And you still go into schools, correct?
Yes.
So what does your ministry look like today?
Okay, right now, the Lord has laid on our hearts so many things He wants to do with us. So the school ministry is one of the things the Lord wants to do with us. So currently we have a Bible club now, and also we have a discipleship class. And personally, I go for evangelism as well. So throughout the week, I go for school preaching. I also go for evangelism. And in the weekends, I meet with the Bible club children. And then also I meet with the kids who are interested to learn the musical instruments as well. So ministry is part of me every day. Sometimes it's like online. You need to meet with certain people and share the Lord's word with them, pray for them. And this has become my life every day.
Okay, so you're doing school ministry. You're teaching kids music. You are doing Bible club. You're discipling your team leaders. And you're doing a lot. How many villages are you visiting on a weekly basis?
Okay, on a weekly basis, it's currently two, where I stay, Haumaso, and then Udium, where we have the Bible club. And recently, we started a different relationship with an orphanage home at Tech. But because of the change of the education calendar and their syllabus, we're not able to meet with them frequently. So our relationship with them actually broke, and we were looking forward to rebuild it again. So it's basically two communities, Haumaso and then Udio.
So you mentioned Bible Club. Could you tell us a little bit about what Bible Club is? What are some of the goals that you have for Bible Club? And just kind of give us a general idea of what that is.
Okay, so with the Bible Club, we have a mission statement, and it says that we really want to raise a future generation of godly people and godly leaders for this perverse and unsaved world, who are children today, brought up and trained in God's way, rooted and built by the scriptures, for turning the world upside down for God through Christ Jesus in all aspects of their lives. So the Bible Club, we exist to really teach the children the way they should go. We want to relate and treat them as God's own. And we know that the Bible says that if from our childhood we know the scriptures, it is able to make us wise unto salvation. So the Bible Club exists to serve so many purposes. And we actually also want to encourage the parents of the kids to start a devotion at their homes as the family devotion.
All right, so you chose to work with kids through Bible Club. How does working with kids influence the whole family and community in Ghana?
Yes. So far, some of the kids have really made their families to be God's family. I'm saying this because some of our kids have really engaged their parents to start a devotion at home. It's not all of them, but those who are in the junior high school. And then they meet as a family to pray and to study God's word together. And we have also received testimonies from their parents that the things that we teach them at the Bible Club has really helped them, and then has really transformed their lives as to who they used to be and the things they used to do. So there have been testimonies, and there have been so many people who have come around to encourage us with the things we are doing at the Bible Club. And sometimes they become so amazed, because it's not like, it's not a church, it's not a denomination like a church, but the things we exist to do sounds like a church. And they sometimes ask, why is it that we are not like taking offering from the kids? Why is it that we are not taking money and all that? And our answer is that God has called us to really help these kids because they are his treasure, and God has placed a high value on them. And these kids really deserve to be helped physically and mentally and moral and then spiritually. So we want to help them. We want to add up to their lives, to impact their lives and make them good people and good leaders in the future.
I remember when we came to Bible Club, I got to speak with one of the moms of the kids, and she told me that she was so happy that y'all were doing Bible Club because she got to learn God's word and not just the traditional Ghanaian religion. So can you speak a little bit about what traditional religion looks like in Ghana?
Okay, so traditional religion, most of them, there are different groups and different times. I think some of them actually don't go to church. They pour libation, and they have their own stuff they do. And we, the Christians, we go to church. And even among the Christians, there are some things other people do, perform some like form of rituals and incense and all that. They burn incense and all that. So even in the body of Christ here in Ghana, I think globally, there have been so many divisions as to everyone is saying, mine is good. Like we burn incense, we use holy water, and others are saying ours is good. We don't burn incense, we don't use holy water. So the traditional worship is such that they want to worship God through like mediums. They want to worship God through mediums. And sometimes the mediums through which they want to worship God isn't right or isn't prescribed, or it's even in the eyes of God, sin or evil.
So we talked about what Bible Club is and how you've been impacting the families in Ghana. So I just wanted to ask you, what's your vision for Bible Club?
One of our missions is to really establish a Bible club in every community or every town you have the opportunity. So the Bible club isn't like restricted to a particular town, but we want to move as the Lord wants us to grow. So throughout Ghana, throughout our regions, and through even other countries, international. So we want the Bible club to be everywhere where kids will be able to attend, because from their childhood and they come to know this truth about God, it's going to go a long way to affect their lives. And it's best for people to come to know their Creator whilst they are kids or whilst they are young, before they grow up. So it gives them a background which helps them shape their lives. So I want to see the Bible Club everywhere, everywhere in Ghana, everywhere in the world. People would be able to engage the kids. One of the reasons we do the Bible Club is that we know that the kids are our future generation. And then if we ignore them in their upbringing to be influenced negatively by this perverse world, then we are going to suffer for their leadership tomorrow. So we don't want to sit there and watch them being influenced negatively by the enemy, but we want to rise up and join hands with God to engage them, to share God's word with them whilst they are young. So it's our vision to see the Bible Club everywhere, not necessarily with our ministry, but if somebody wants to start a Bible Club and he wants us to help us in house to go about it, we are ready to do that. The things we do is not restricted to only our ministry, but we are open-minded and we have open doors for people who actually believe in what God is doing with us, whether to join us or to start his or her own. We are ready to assist and help, because it's not about me or it's not about a particular thing, but it's about God's work. And we need to see that it goes through everywhere, whether it's your ministry or whether it's not your ministry. We should be ready to help people and get the beauty of what God wants to do in the life of the children. Because Jesus said that we shouldn't hinder the kids to come to him, but we should rather allow them. So we know that the devil has forbidden so many children to come to the knowledge of God. And for that matter, we need to rise up and then engage these kids as possible, as any other way like we can just do it.
I love y'all's vision for Bible Club. Just because I think it's so cool that y'all want to take it to other places. And I really believe that here in the United States, we need people from Ghana to come preach to kids in the United States. So I just love that mission and that vision. And I really hope that that is on the horizon for you guys as a team. So speaking of your team, can you tell us a little bit about the people you work with and how you've built your team?
With my team and then with the ministry we are doing, the way we get people to come around is to share the vision God has given us. And we allow them to have some time to pray to God about it if the Lord wants them to come and join us. So then they'll give you the feedback, say, okay, yes, God says I should come and join you guys. Or no, I wouldn't be able to join. Okay, currently we have one of our Bible Club students who is part of us now. She's called Christabel. And she attended our Bible Club and now she's part of us. Actually, she has been helping with teaching the kids.
Yay, Christabel.
Yes.
That is awesome. We just love your team, by the way. You have the sweetest friends. Last time we were there, we also talked about how there aren't a lot of Bibles in Twi. Is that right?
Yes.
How does the lack of Bibles in Twi, which is the national language, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How does that affect ministry?
Okay. There are so many ethnic groups in Ghana, and the Twi is known with the Akans, the Ashanti people. And we have the Ewes, we have like the Adangues, we have the Northern people. So I think not only having it in the tree, but also in the other languages like the Ewes, like the Northern people, like the Adangues and and clapping people. So I think the Bible must or needs to be translated to the very language of every group of people. One of the things I want to share is the truth that ministry is life and ministry is everything. You shouldn't become like a pastor before you can do ministry. Ministry is rendering service to humanity. Many people out there are rendering services to humanity, but not with the right perspective. The right perspective to serve people is to have the mind of Christ. Here in Ghana, when you hear ministry, it's more or less like a church, like a denomination. So many people ask me, why is it that you don't start the church? Why is it that you don't start the church? And I told them, and I tell them, this is a church, because the church doesn't necessarily mean I should have a denomination where like you be engaging in all the things like churches are doing. But we also want to come from the outside in, spending time with people, engaging them with the word of God, helping them pray, helping them study the word of God. It's ministry. So you don't need to start a church before you can serve people. But at your workplace, at your office, at your community, you can start something, loving on people, praying for people, even you don't know or you don't even like care about. And I think this is what God has called us all to do. It's not one man work. It's not like a particular person, but all of us collectively. Because day in and day out, we come in contact with so many people, and it's an opportunity for us to share the love of Christ to them. It's an opportunity for us to pray for them, encourage them. We should be concerned, because God wants everyone to come to Him, and we should be here and making sure this thing comes to pass, or else the enemy will take advantage and get more on his side. So I want everyone to know that ministry is everyone's business. It's for everyone, irrespective of who you are, irrespective of your age, of your background, and everything. God has deposited something in you that He wants you to share, which will transform lives, which will bring people to the saving knowledge of this God.
I love that you brought that up. That's actually really interesting that you say that, because Casey Bloom, that was on the podcast the other week, she mentioned the same thing, that ministry, it's everyone's job. We all have that opportunity to share the light and love of God. And I would say, just from watching you and the way that you live your life, you truly do live a life of ministry. It is not just a one day a week thing for you. You are seeking to serve those around you consistently and setting that example for your team. And so thank you for sharing that and for challenging us. And I hope that and I'm going to be thinking about that too, what that looks like to live a life of ministry.
God really exists, and He's still in the business of creating things through us. And for that matter, we should acknowledge Him and allow ourselves for Him to use us as His vessels. And I really love your ministry as chosen vessels, because when God gives a vision to you, sometimes people around you even don't even believe in that, and they will not, and they are not ready to also like encourage you. But to have a ministry like chosen vessels, surrounded like with so many people, to encourage, to equip, and to empower leaders, I think this is one of the greatest ministry in the world. Because for somebody to push you, for somebody to encourage you to pursue a thing that God has laid on your heart, isn't easy to find. Many people run away from you because of what you want to do. They don't encourage you, they discourage you rather. But chosen vessels exist to really encourage, to also empower, and to also equip people to really embark on what the Lord has laid on their heart, which is their vision. And I'm so excited for chosen vessels, and I'm so excited to be part of what God is doing with chosen vessels. And I want to say God bless you, Becca, and God bless you all. God bless all those on board working for this vision to come to pass.
You're too kind, Harrison. That is so generous of you to say those things about Chosen Vessels. And so I just want to publicly thank you for the example that you set for those around you, that you live life authentically. And thank you for being willing and obedient to follow God's call that He's placed on your life. It's incredible to watch, and your life and story serve as a testimony of God's goodness to me and to all that you meet. So thank you. And thank you for giving your time and your wisdom today to share with us just your story and what God's called you to and how you're laboring. So thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you too, sister. God bless you.
So if people hear your story today and they want to commit to praying for you and your team, what are some specific ways that people can pray for you, but also for your team?
One of the prayer requests, I want people to pray for me, pray for God's grace and strength and favor to help me as in the vision He has given me for it to come to pass. And it's my heart desire that even in my absence, when I'm not here, whether I've traveled or I'm dead, this ministry should really exist and it should function. So I'm doing everything and with the help of God to really establish this ministry and for generations to come. And I also want people to pray for my team, that God should also grant them grace and favor and love to be able to teach the kids and unity among us. Together we'll be able to do what God has laid on our hearts.
Oh, Harrison, he is just the sweetest guy. He has one of the biggest smiles and just the best personalities in the world, honestly. So I just wanted to share this quick story about Harrison. Becca probably knows where I'm going to go with this, but he is just so kind and generous. And I think you gathered that from him when he was speaking about his ministry and about Chosen Vessels and his life. But if you want to know how generous this man is, when we got to Ghana on our first day, we were driving in the van and we were just making small talk. And Becca had made one offhanded comment. She was like, "What was that snack called last time we were here? It was like ice cream in a bag. Oh, that was so good." And Harrison was like, "Oh, that's called fan ice." And so he didn't say anything else about it. Becca was like, "Oh, great, thanks. Maybe we could get it sometime this week." And I think in your mind, correct me if I'm wrong, you thought it would just be last day we were there, mm-hmm. we would get a bag of fan ice.
Yep.
So then before we knew it, we were stopping at a gas station and each of us had two bags of fan ice in our laps. And he was like, "Here you go, I got it for you. You said you wanted it, and now I got it for you." And we were like, "Wow, thanks so much." And then the next day, we got in the van again to drive to go do ministry somewhere. We'd gone and done ministry in a village. We got back in the van, and waiting on us in the van was, yet again, fan ice. And it started a pattern for the whole week. Every time we got in the van, Harrison had already gone out of his way to get something for us. Not that we needed it. It's just we had said that we liked it and we wanted it. And then he did everything in his power every single day. I'm talking driving out of the way, making extra trips, buying extra gas just to pick us up something that we wanted that would add a little more comfort to our day. So that is Harrison in a nutshell. He goes out of his way for people, and he always goes the extra mile to make people feel loved and included. He's just great.
He is. And I'm just so impressed by him. And the growth that his team has had in the last 9 months, they have added so many people because when someone is following a vision the Lord has given them and walking faithfully in that, that ignites a fire of people around you. And so I think the fact that his team is growing, they are volunteers that are coming to serve, but they are catching the vision and they are choosing now to disciple people. And so it is really, really incredible to see the ripple effect that's having in his community. Well, we love Harrison. We hope you now also love Harrison. If you have words of encouragement that you'd like to send to him, you can also email those to us and we would love to get those to him. or if you have questions for him or want to find out ways that you can pray and support his ministry, you can reach out at chosen.vessels.inc@gmail.com or find us on chosenvesselsonline.org.
And if you ever want to meet Harrison, start praying about international missions at Chosen Vessels, because that is also an option for you if you want to go see what it's like in Ghana. Trips will be opening up as soon as the world does, mm-hmm. and applications can be sent in whenever. So if you have a desire to go do ministry abroad, don't be afraid to reach out. This is an avenue for you.
Absolutely. We're ready for the world to open up so we can go. All right. Thanks for joining us today. We hope you have loved getting to know Harrison, and that you'll continue listening every Tuesday.